6. Stage 2. Understanding your unfaithful partner. Why? Why me? Those things that hurt, instruct. Benjamin Franklin. After initial shock and disbelief, when the mind clears, your question most likely is, why? Why did the affair occur? What happened and what led up to it? Why now? Why did this happen to me? Those who have been traumatized experience cognitive shock. Their assumptions about life that provided a sense of consistency, predictability, and security have been shattered. They can no longer trust their perceptions and judgments about the world and themselves. Similarly, after discovering the affair, your mind may swirl with unanswered questions, and you might become obsessed with finding answers. You may feel so driven to find answers because your familiar world has been shattered, and you are filled with anxiety and dread. What you assume to be true about your partner, yourself, and your relationship has been revealed to be a lie. And what can be most unsettling about the affair are the lies and deception by your partner to engage in and maintain the infidelity. A massive betrayal of trust has occurred. Some shattered assumptions. 1. About your partner's character. 2. About the security of your relationship. 3. About your own self-confidence. 4. About your perception of reality. What are some of the assumptions that may have been shattered? First, what you believed about your partner is tragically called into question. You were undoubtedly drawn to your partner because of qualities that you admired in her, such as her honesty, charm, intelligence, humor, sensitivity, and so forth. As you got to know your partner, you probably became aware of idiosyncrasies, annoying habits, and character flaws. But up to this point, nothing so serious that you wanted to end the relationship. In all likelihood, you never imagined she could be so deceitful, insensitive, and cruel as to betray you. Otherwise, you never would have made a commitment to her. Second, your beliefs about your relationship may have been destroyed. Whether you are married or in a stable relationship, heterosexual or homosexual, you undoubtedly assumed a degree of commitment from your partner. You probably talked explicitly about the nature of your relationship, about being exclusive, not having sex with others, not revealing personal secrets, your future together. Many mutual expectations became clear as the relationship unfolded and crises arose. Crises likely led you to talk about your differing views, desires, and expectations, and to seek a common ground. But underlying all the discussion was a mutual trust in each other's honesty, which has been strained to the breaking point. Third, uncertainties about what you believe about yourself may have been exposed. For example, before the discovered affair, you may have seen yourself as a confident, secure, insightful, trusting person. You felt capable to manage your life with all its ordinary surprises. But with the shocking revelation of the affair, your world has been turned upside down and you may feel in an emotional freefall. You may question your ability to cope, wondering, "What's wrong with me? Will I survive this? How could I have been so blind?" Finally, you may now question your sense of reality. You probably felt a sense of security in your relationship, acknowledged some problems, as everybody has, and were generally at peace with yourself and your personal universe. You saw the world as a friendly place in which your needs were met, for the most part. However, after the betrayal, with your partner's lies and deceptions, you may no longer trust your perceptions and judgments. You may wonder, if you were so wrong in trusting your partner, how could you possibly be right in trusting your ability to see reality clearly? You may believe that your world has now been transformed into a hostile, unsafe place in which you feel helpless to recognize dangers and protect yourself. As much as you may want to understand what your partner did and why, you may surprisingly discover in yourself a reluctance to know the truth. You might prefer the comfort of denial. One patient told me, "I prefer not to look at things too closely. I'm more comfortable with the unknown than the known. The known may be worse than I imagine, and I may have to do something about it." He pretended that if he did not know, it did not exist. To talk about the infidelity is too painful because it makes it more real. It inflames the wound. Because you have been betrayed, you may no longer trust your partner or believe he will be honest. If he covered up the affair, you assume he will lie about what happened. He may even offer some excuses to justify his behavior, or even blame you. Such dishonesty will only deepen the hurt and distrust. Furthermore, if you inquire about the affair, you may be confronted with your partner's defensiveness, and you do not want to engage in more arguments with him. Furthermore, if you are honest with yourself, you may recognize that you want to stay angry to feel powerful and in control, or even self-righteous. Your anger may have become a safe haven to protect you from further harm. You may not want to make the effort to understand your partner or give him a chance to make excuses. Benefits of understanding your partner. 1. To relieve self-blame. 2. To make sense of your world again. 3. To give up the grudge against your partner. 4. To begin an honest self-examination. 5. To grow in wisdom. Are there any real benefits to understanding your partner's harmful behavior? I believe there are. First, at some level you may blame yourself for your partner's infidelity, believing that you somehow drove her into the arms of another. You might ask yourself, "Why me? What did I do to deserve this? Was I that terrible a partner?" You might possibly consider her unfaithfulness as a reflection on you and your adequacy as a partner. You might imagine that somehow you are responsible and think, "If only I had been more attentive, affectionate, worked less, had better sex, then she would not have strayed." You may well wonder, "What was so wrong with me that she chose another?" The benefit of understanding what led your partner to the affair can help to relieve that self-blame by giving you a more realistic appreciation of the distribution of responsibility. A second benefit is appreciating that the affair did not occur out of the blue. Something in your relationship and in your partner prepared for that catastrophic event, although it may not be so clear at first. One of the most unsettling aspects of discovering your partner's infidelity is its unpredictability. The dream of what your life together could be has been shattered. All of us have an imaginary film in our mind's eye of how we want our lives to proceed. No one expects a partner to betray them. Such an unpredictable catastrophe creates anxiety about what other terrible things could happen. Our assumptions about a stable, familiar, and happy life together, forever, have been undermined. What else can happen? Our assumption about a relationship as a safe haven has been belied. How can we ever trust anyone again? Understanding what led up to the affair can help make sense of it and give some measure of comfort in the rationality of the universe. Third, understanding can help you give up your anger. Because of the seriousness of the betrayal and threat to your well-being, you may feel consumed by rage. Your anger is a wall that protects you from further harm. However, as time passes, you may begin to realize that the rage also imprisons you. It deprives you of contentment and peace, and isolates you from others who may not understand your irritability. As many under stress do, you may even suffer physical symptoms such as back and stomach pains, sleeplessness, and muscle tension. In short, you may not like the person you have become, an angry person. Further angry expressions toward your unfaithful partner will only inflame the anger and its poisonous effects on your life. This may be difficult to hear in the midst of your rage, but the only escape from your wrath will be through acceptance and forgiveness. Understanding your partner's involvement in the affair can help you begin to appreciate her humanness without excusing the action and develop some empathy. That empathy, the ability to put yourself in another's shoes, is an essential step in the process of acceptance and forgiveness. A fourth benefit, also difficult to acknowledge and accept, is that through understanding your partner's behavior, you are better able to give up blame and engage in an honest self-examination. Blame does not change what has happened. It only imprisons you in anger and keeps you from looking honestly at yourself and your life. I want to emphasize that no one is responsible for his partner's infidelity. Your partner is responsible for his behavior, and nothing you ever did could justify the betrayal. However, the infidelity may expose an underlying and unacknowledged weakness in your relationship. The infidelity may be a symptom of some deeper problems that are crying out for attention. Perhaps both of you were dissatisfied but did not address it honestly with each other. Understanding your partner and giving up blame will free you to look at yourself honestly, without self-blame, as to how your actions in the relationship may have contributed to the dissatisfaction you both experienced. A final, surprising benefit of grappling with the truth of your partner's infidelity may be that you grow in wisdom and understanding. Without even knowing it, you may have become complacent in your relationship and clung to the comfortable security of your routine lives. You may have grown to accept many beliefs about yourself, your partner, and your relationship that were distorted and gave you a false sense of security. Your perceptions may have been clouded by your need to romanticize and idealize your life. You may have come to take for granted the good things you were enjoying in the relationship. As painful as the discovery of the affair was, it can be an opportunity to grow in wisdom and understanding. What knowledge you gain will be precious because it will be purchased at a high price, with much effort and soul-searching. For many, it may be the first time they make a long, hard, honest scrutiny of their lives. Like Jennifer, you may have struggled in vain to have an honest conversation with your partner about the affair. Fueled by your anxiety, you might obsess about the affair and ruminate about possible reasons. Your anger will probably make you persistent in trying to find out from your partner the details of what happened and why. However, you may discover that the more you push your partner to know the truth, the more he may resist pushing back. Naturally, you are frustrated by your partner's defensiveness, which is likely motivated by his guilt and shame. He may say he is withholding the details to spare you the pain, but the truth is, he is attempting to spare himself the humiliation of his betrayal. The reality is that he will speak honestly only when he is ready to accept responsibility for his behavior. Typical patterns of infidelity. Infidelity exposes massive cracks in the foundation of a relationship, which may not have been recognized but are revealed through the affair. That is one reason why the discovery of an affair is so shocking. In most cases, it shouts out, "Something was wrong in our relationship, and I didn't even know it." An affair is never a healthy choice, and is almost always a symptom of a deep underlying problem in the relationship. It arises from dissatisfaction in the relationship and usually reveals the personality conflicts of the offending partner. Why would anyone choose to break such an important promise to someone he loves? Based on my clinical experience, I will say that in most cases the choice for an affair is a flight from the struggles of intimacy. To sustain a committed relationship requires much maturity and hard work. It is a demanding, complicated process to love and be loved, to be able to stand on one's own and yet be emotionally connected. A mature relationship demands endless give and take, the courage to express honest feelings, and the fortitude to negotiate differences of opinion and desires. It requires fully accepting oneself and the loved one, including differences in feelings, desires, and opinions. Because two unique individuals choose to be together, inevitable misunderstandings and conflicts arise that need to be resolved. Furthermore, to risk loving another exposes one to the possibility of being hurt. It is safer not to care. The decision to engage in an affair is really an avoidance of a commitment to any one person, because it involves choosing to be with two part-time partners. Insecure attachment styles. As the popular song lyrics express it, there are 50 ways to leave your lover. Certainly, there are countless ways of disconnecting in a relationship. Attachment theory, a theory about bonding and relationships, suggests a helpful way to understand and group together some of the major ways that people connect and disconnect in relationships. John Bowlby, an ethnologist, observed how animals care for their young, and in the process, an attachment bond develops between them. He further noted that whenever there was a danger, a survival response was activated that maintained the protective closeness between the mother and her offspring. He called it an attachment system. Bowlby saw a similarity between the interaction of animals with their young and how human beings form strong affectional bonds to specific people. Through emotional bonding with the mother, a child feels a sense of security that allows him to venture out and explore his environment. In stressful times of separation, he relies on his trust in his mother's protective presence. Based on Bowlby's theory, researchers devised experiments to validate his insights. Mary Ainsworth and her colleagues observed mother-child interactions under controlled conditions and developed a technique called the strange situation. She observed brief separations and reunions between mothers and their one-year-old children and noted their differing behaviors. Some ways of interacting during the separation reunion appeared to be more effective in relieving anxiety in the child than others. She observed that most children responded with a secure style. The child showed signs of distress when the mother withdrew, but quickly approached her and settled down when she returned. Other reactions appeared to reveal a continuing sense of insecurity in the child, even after reunion. Some children displayed an avoidant style. These children experienced some distress at their mother's leaving, but seemed to reject the mother upon her return. Other children showed an anxious, ambivalent style. They demonstrated a high level of distress during the separation and a mixture of approach and rejection upon reunion. Further research suggested that the attachment styles, learned through the repetitive interactions between the primary caregiver and the child, persist into adulthood in their most significant relationships. Some adults feel secure within themselves. They can easily stand on their own and yet are able to maintain an emotional connection with their partners. They can negotiate the emotional space in their relationships, respecting each other's differing needs for closeness and distance. Others feel varying degrees of insecurity in their relationships, reacting to stressful interactions by an avoidant or anxious style. These insecure individuals tend to act in extremes, either detaching emotionally or clinging to their partners. Bartholomew and Horowitz undertook an experiment examining the attachment styles of young adults and noted a third way that insecure individuals react in stressful interactions with their partners. They develop a dismissing style in which they fight against close relationships. In working with couples struggling through an infidelity, I have observed three typical ways that unfaithful partners disconnect in their relationships. They flee the demands of an intimate relationship, the stressful give-and-take of negotiating emotional space. Their disconnection reveals the underlying sense of insecurity they feel within themselves and their relationships. Through their infidelity, these individuals engage in the following behaviors. 1. Flight, which is similar to the avoidance style and reveals a fear of closeness. 2. Fight, a version of the dismissing style, which suggests a relentless turf battle. 3. Cling, which is like the anxious ambivalence style, manifesting a fear of autonomy. Interestingly, these three patterns of disconnection have been observed by others in the past. Karen Horney, a renowned German-American psychologist, explained that neurotic people resolve and express their inner conflicts in their relationships by 1. Moving away from others, flight, 2. Moving against others, fight, or 3. Moving toward others, cling. There is a parallel between these three styles of disconnecting with Buddha's insights 2,500 years ago. He said there are three root causes of suffering that condition interactions with others. 1. Greed or excessive attachment, cling. 2. Hatred or aversion, fight. And 3. Delusion, living the illusion that we are separate from others, flight. Three patterns of disconnecting through an infidelity. It is important that you understand not only the immediate circumstances that may have influenced your partner's decision to be unfaithful, but also her personality weaknesses that are revealed through her choice. It would be beneficial for you to know what drama was playing out in her mind through the affair, so you can know your part in the play. You were obviously an unwilling participant, but need to know how you were unwittingly drawn in. Understanding your partner's behavior will also be important for your decision about whether you want to continue the relationship. Can the damage be repaired? Is she a trustworthy person? Can you ever trust her again? If you choose to reconcile, you will need to know what issues within your partner, yourself, and your relationship demand attention. The following three stories illustrate typical scenarios of infidelity. 1. Flight from closeness. Bruce and Jennifer's story. Bruce was a football star in high school and enjoyed the attention he received. He was handsome, charming, and extremely popular, especially with all the girls. He loved to flirt, and many girls swarmed around him, seeking his attention. Bruce dated many girls, but was never serious about settling down and going steady. He just wanted to have fun. When he noticed Jennifer at a party, he was attracted to her quiet beauty and wanted to get to know her. He had recognized her from a few classes and saw her as a reserved, conscientious student, sort of his opposite. Bruce surprised himself when they began dating and he fell in love with her. She was a steady person who balanced his wild and adventurous style. After dating a couple of years, at times from a distance while in college, they were married. Bruce and Jennifer quickly settled into the routine of marriage and career. He became a stockbroker and enjoyed success because of his natural sales ability. They had a daughter, who was the love of his life, although he was so busy with work that he, regretfully, did not spend much time with her. Bruce put his energy into pursuing his career, which led to a swift advancement at his office and a position as a vice president. Bruce was a person who was easily bored and always liked to be on the go. In contrast, Jennifer was a stay-at-home kind of person. He relied on her stability to maintain the home front. However, as time passed, his boredom with the routine of married life increased. Jennifer complained about how much time he spent away from home, and their arguments increased. Bruce was experiencing enormous pressure at work to produce in his new position. He complained that Jennifer did not understand what it took to succeed in his business. As the tension increased in their marriage, the frequency of sex declined. In order to escape the pressure from home, Bruce spent more time at work and went to a bar after work to unwind. He worked more closely with his secretary, who gradually became his confidant. He complained to her about his work pressures and wife's lack of understanding, and she offered a consoling ear. Sometimes they went out together for a quick drink, and Bruce decided not to tell Jennifer about their socializing outside work. Bruce was aware that he was developing feelings for his secretary and kept them secret. Then, one evening, when Bruce was feeling stressed out, they went to a motel and slept together. He was aware that they had crossed a line in their relationship and felt a terrible guilt, but their friendship and occasional sex continued. After Jennifer discovered his affair and threw him out of the house, Bruce eventually sought therapy for himself. He came to realize how emotionally aloof he had always been in his life. He loved the limelight and attention, but never allowed himself to be really close to people. Without knowing it, he had become like his parents, who both worked and had little time for him. He was an only child and spent a good part of his childhood in daycare. His parents spoiled him with material things and took him on fancy vacations, but never spent much time really talking with him. Those like Bruce fear being emotionally close in a relationship and seek a comfortable distance from others in activities or isolation. Because of their fear of intimacy and desire for freedom, they withdraw more when they feel pressured from their partner to relate. They may maintain a facade of confidence and be charming and outgoing, but deep down they feel insecure about themselves. They feel unworthy of love and look to others to provide them with approval. They fear being criticized and not living up to others' expectations of them. They deny their own dependency needs because they are afraid if others really know them, they will be rejected. So their relationships remain superficial. Their avoidance of closeness is a way of protecting themselves from the pain of emotional neglect as children. An affair becomes attractive to them because it provides an escape from the demands for intimacy from their partner. Furthermore, they may enjoy the affection, admiration, and approval of their mistress without having to make a commitment. 2. Fight for control. Sam and Laura's story. Sam and Laura met in high school and were immediately drawn to each other. They seemed to have a love-hate relationship from the outset. The good times together were fantastic, and the bad times horrendous. Both were outgoing and popular, associating with a wide network of friends. Unfortunately, however, both were insanely jealous. The slightest attention either paid to anyone else led to verbal and sometimes physical brawls. They separated numerous times while dating, but soon discovered that they could not live without each other. Shortly after graduating from high school, they were married in an elaborate Italian wedding. Not surprisingly, their bickering continued into the marriage. Sam was a successful businessman and prided himself on his accomplishments. Laura stayed home to care for their two children and worked part-time. Since both were proud and stubborn people, they often argued, both insisting they were right. Their disagreements became shouting matches and endless cycles of blame. They enjoyed an active social life with many friends. Sam spent time with his business associates, golfing and hunting, while Laura enjoyed luncheons with her friends. Their socializing became grist for the mill of their regular arguments. Laura accused Sam of flirting, while Sam became convinced that Laura was cultivating male friendships at work. When Sam was on one of his many business trips, he met a young woman who captivated him. Their friendship developed through numerous phone conversations, which Sam kept secret from his wife. Sam arranged for meetings out of town with his new girlfriend, and soon their relationship became sexual. Sam justified it in his own mind with the idea that he was giving Laura some of her own medicine for having so many male friends. Sam was very familiar with power struggles. His parents were both accomplished professionals who competed with each other in daily life. Their marriage seemed to be one unending disagreement, and anger the glue to their relationship. Both had to be right, and there was no compromising, because it meant defeat. His father, an attorney, admitted that debating made him feel alive. Sam often felt like a spectator to their numerous fights and just tried to stay out of harm's way. Meanwhile, he was engaged in his own battles with his three brothers, with whom he competed in sports and other arenas. Sam's marriage to Laura can be likened to two scorpions trapped in a bottle. Those like Sam and Laura fear being dependent on others and create distance in their relationships through competition and hostility. They mistrust others and seek control and power to maintain a sense of safety in relationships. These are success-driven people. From all outward appearances, they are self-confident and exude personal strength. However, beneath this facade is an insecure person who feels extremely vulnerable in relationships. They fear being exposed as a fraud and then exploited. Their sense of security depends on their maintaining an air of independence, strength, and invulnerability. These individuals never felt close to their parents and believed they had to fight to preserve their sense of integrity. Their childhoods were often power struggles, and they came to see others as untrustworthy and rejecting. They may initiate an affair, as did Sam, to retaliate against perceived injuries from their partner. The affair further creates the image of independent action and maintains emotional distance in the marriage. Keeping it secret is also a triumph over the partner. 3. Clinging to love. Sarah and Bill's story. Sarah and Bill were married nearly 25 years. For most of the time, it was an emotional wasteland for Sarah. Her husband never talked and was a control freak. He was a policeman who claimed he knew how tough and dangerous life was and said he wanted to protect Sarah. He ended up protecting her by keeping her in a prison of his control. Bill made all the decisions around the house without consulting Sarah. He kept a tight rein on their finances. Sarah had to beg him for money to pay for even the smallest expenses. For the most part, Sarah became compliant but nursed a secret resentment at being so dominated and voiceless. Her only consolation was their son, to whom Sarah devoted her life. Bill worked long hours, and she cared for their son in the home. When their son left for college, Sarah felt desperately alone and isolated. At about the same time, one of her husband's colleagues, a fellow police officer, began stopping by for coffee. Sarah looked forward to his visits because he was a sensitive man who listened to her. He began to come by more frequently, and their friendship grew. Sarah was desperate for some attention and recognized that she was developing feelings for him, which she kept from Bill. Over time, as their emotional connection deepened, they had occasional sex. Sarah felt guilty, but enjoyed the affection. She was terrified of leaving Bill and breaking up the family. Sarah recognized that she was a person who had an insatiable need for affection and was confused that she married such an aloof and controlling man. As a child, she was Daddy's little girl and enjoyed spending time with her father. He was a quiet, passive, and accommodating man. Her mother ran the household. She was a domineering, controlling, and aggressive woman whom Sarah felt she could never please. She longed to be close to her mother, but always felt rejected because her mother was such a harsh taskmaster. Sarah realized she had married someone like her mother, but hoped her love could transform her husband into someone more like her father. Those like Sarah long to be loved and fear standing on their own. They are dependent personalities who are preoccupied with maintaining close relationships, even at the cost of themselves. They exhibit strong needs for attention, affection, and support. They see themselves as helpless and unlovable, and others as providers of care, comfort, and protection. Fears of being abandoned dominate them because they do not really believe they can survive emotionally on their own. In relationships, they tend to be passive and submissive because they do not want to jeopardize the protective presence of the other. During their childhood, their parents were often overprotective of them and never encouraged them to assert themselves. In many ways, they look for a nurturing parent in their marriages. They may become involved in an affair, as did Sarah, to assert themselves with a controlling spouse and express their resentment indirectly. They may also find another to whom they can cling, to provide security when they feel unappreciated in their marriage. Other types of affairs. The typical ways of disconnecting described earlier are certainly not an exhaustive depiction of the variety of infidelities. However, they illustrate how problems in intimate relating may come to light through the action of the unfaithful partner. The following are some other typical patterns that arise more directly from the personal dispositions, that is, from the impulsiveness, compulsiveness, or decision of the one engaged in the affair. In contrast to the previous patterns, the infidelity reflects more clearly what is missing in the offending person than in the relationship, and may suggest a different response on your part. 1. The impulsive infidelity, the one-night stand. Some infidelities are isolated events in which the involvement is limited to sex without any emotional intimacy. Usually, a set of external circumstances creates the environment for an impulsive act that both partners agree was out of character. For example, Ted had been married for 10 years. He admitted that he and his wife had their ups and downs in their marriage, but claimed he was generally happy. He had never even considered being unfaithful to his wife. Ted often traveled for business and dreaded the time away from his family. He had always been a social drinker, but noticed that his drinking had increased over the past couple of years. He drank heavily on weekends and occasionally when he was away on business trips. Before one trip, he had a major argument with his wife and left, stewing about how he had been wronged. After dinner with clients at the hotel, he decided to relax at the bar. To unwind, he began ordering cocktails, one after another, and conversed with an attractive woman who was also away on business. As they drank together, becoming more intoxicated, she invited him to her room for a nightcap. The next day, Ted could hardly remember the details of how they ended up in bed together. The discovery of a one-night stand affair is so devastating because often the betrayal is unexpected and out of character for your partner. Perhaps you would have never believed your partner capable of such behavior, but after the discovery, you are not so sure it could not happen again. It is important to understand the circumstances surrounding the sexual behavior, which may be an impulsive act. Often, the person's ability to make good decisions is compromised by alcohol or drugs. The impulsive sexual encounter may reveal another problem that has been ignored, an alcohol or drug addiction. Unless the addiction is addressed, your partner will continue to be at risk of further impulsive sexual acting out. 2. Compulsive infidelity, a sexual addiction. The sexual acting out may be part of a pattern of behavior that existed long before you met your partner. Often, because of shame, that behavior was a carefully guarded secret. For example, Alan came to therapy because he complained, "I'm oversexed." He related that he and his wife of 5 years had periodically engaged in group sex with their neighbors. Both loved the sexual excitement and adventure, which they believed improved their sex life together. However, he and his wife reacted differently to the occasional encounters. He wanted them to last longer and occur more frequently. The more they argued about it, the more she was determined that the group sex would stop. Alan came to me because he wanted to preserve the marriage. He related that he was exposed to his father's pornography at 8 years old. His father was a quiet, withdrawn man whose only apparent interests were using pornography and going to nude bars. Alan became preoccupied with sex at an early age, indulged in internet pornography, and went to nude bars like his father. Alan was a handsome man who enjoyed flirting with women. Before being married, he had a knack for enticing girls into having sex, but observed in himself that he was emotionally detached from them. After marriage, his preoccupation with women and desire for sexual adventure only increased. His fantasy dream of group sex was fulfilled when his wife agreed to participate, but her desire to stop the group encounters caused a crisis for them in their marriage. The most lucrative business on the internet is pornography. My patients have told me they can find whatever they desire to indulge their fantasies. The number of people and the extent of their use of internet sex in a variety of forms are revealing a sexual problem of epidemic proportions. For some, sex can be like a drug to which they are addicted. The excitement of sex serves a purpose in filling a deep void in their lives. The sex-addicted person struggles with emotional intimacy and finds a substitute in sexual stimulation. These individuals feel powerless to control their addictive behavior, which is really a compulsion. If you discover that your partner engages in extramarital sexual activity and does not seem able to stop despite the negative consequences, he may have a sexual addiction. Because it is an addiction, it is helpful to be aware that you are powerless to stop the behavior. All your confrontations, pleadings, and efforts to monitor, control, or punish his sexual acting out will not work. It will only lead to resentment on his part, and an angry sense of helplessness on yours. His sexual acting out will end only when he admits a problem, is motivated to change, and seeks help for himself. Unless he is committed to a personal recovery program, he will likely continue to relapse, despite his best intentions to stop. 3. Terminal infidelity, the exit affair. There are times when someone becomes involved in an affair because he has decided to leave the marriage. He may not be fully aware of his decision at the time, or may just be reluctant to file for divorce. In any event, the affair signifies the end of the relationship. For example, Larry had been married for nearly 30 years but never felt happy. His wife was an emotionally unstable woman who had been hospitalized many times for depression and suicidal attempts. Larry took care of her but felt drained as the years passed. He thought of himself as her designated caretaker, but resented the role and complained of feeling neglected. Over the years, he consoled himself with several affairs, which he scrupulously kept hidden from his family. He justified the affairs in his own mind as necessary emotional respites from the wasteland of his marriage to a sick woman. Finally, he met a woman who he believed understood him and genuinely cared for him. When he moved in with her, his infidelity became public and he announced the end of his marriage. When your partner refuses to give up his relationship with a third party, despite your protests, it is a clear sign that he has decided to leave the marriage. In that case, no reconciliation is possible, even if you want it. Obviously, a stable, committed relationship requires the free consent and commitment of both parties. If one person does not accept the condition of exclusivity, it is obvious that the relationship cannot survive. It is also essential that the offending partner learn from the affair why he became involved with another outside his committed relationship, what dissatisfactions led him to stray, and how he contributed to the breakdown of the relationship. Unless he discovers the answers to these important questions, he will be handicapped in either reconciling with his partner or pursuing another relationship. Without accurate self-understanding, he will repeat the same unhappy dance with another partner, with likely the same result. The qualities of alertness, curiosity, openness, honesty, and gentleness in self-exploration are as important for the unfaithful partner as for the wounded one. The following suggested aids for the offended partner's recovery can also be useful for the offending partner's self-examination. Some aids for recovery. The following are some aids to gain a new understanding, a different perspective. 1. Undergo therapy to know yourself. In the initial stage of recovery, you attempted to calm the emotional storm. In this second stage of recovery, which is seeking understanding, I recommend that you continue in individual therapy. Even though the emotional storm has been stilled somewhat, though not entirely, you need to engage your intellect to understand and learn from what happened. You need to understand more deeply your partner, yourself, and your relationship before you can make a wise and informed decision about what you want to do about the relationship. There are two choices: separation or reconciliation. Until you are comfortable in your knowledge of what led to the breakdown in the relationship, you cannot be secure in making a decision, the next step in recovery. A competent therapist is an invaluable aid in this work of exploration. I further recommend, if he is willing, that you invite your partner to join you for some sessions together to explore what happened. For an accurate understanding, it is important for you to appreciate the total context of his decision to be unfaithful. For example, you will want to know what stresses he felt in his life, what dissatisfactions in the relationship he experienced, what he was thinking, what was attractive about the other person, and what personality weaknesses he displayed in the choice. These are difficult issues that are helpful to explore with a trained professional who can maintain a safe environment to avoid the hostile reactions you may experience in your personal conversations with your partner. You may also have to face the possibility that your partner has no clear idea of why he did what he did. 2. Expand your journal. Continue paying close attention to your experiences and getting into the habit of writing daily what you discover about yourself. During this stage of self-exploration, I recommend that you begin to reflect deeply on your relationship with your partner to gain a new perspective on yourself, your partner, and your relationship. Imagine you are writing an autobiographical relationship history and try to write as honestly as you can. Look back on your relationship and ponder these questions. How did you meet? What was your first impression of your partner? What attracted you to him? What did you like about him? What did you dislike about him? What was your experience dating him? How did your relationship progress? When did you decide to make a lifelong commitment to each other? Did you have any reservations or concerns about living together? Were you always happy and satisfied in your relationship? When did your feelings change? What was going on in your life together at the time? What are you dissatisfied with now? What do you value in your partner? This honest exploration of your relationship may be difficult because you may tend to obsess about the affair. However, if the obsessing continues, you will likely remain stuck in blaming your partner and feeling like a helpless victim. Turning your attention to understanding your relationship is an essential step towards self-healing and gaining a sense of control over your life. Essential qualities for gaining self-knowledge. 1. Alertness to your experience. 2. Curiosity about yourself and your reaction. 3. Openness to all you discover. 4. Honesty about what you see in yourself. 5. Gentleness with yourself. 3. Continue with your group support. Because of the betrayal, you may feel a profound sense of helplessness and isolation, which is common to those who have been traumatized. Your once friendly, comfortable, secure world has now become a hostile, insecure place. Your natural tendency to protect yourself may lead you to withdraw from social interaction. Trusting yourself and others may feel threatening. Participating in a caring group, such as group therapy, a 12-step group, a prayer group, or a support group for the divorced, can help you reconnect with others and yourself. The care and understanding of others in the group can empower you to trust yourself and others again. The group can become your safety zone where you can gain self-confidence to venture out into the world again. Remember that the betrayal thrived in secrecy and drew its power in deception and manipulation of the truth. By openly talking about what happened, bringing it into the light of day, you begin to destroy its hold on you. 4. Pray from the heart for the Spirit's gift of understanding and knowledge. When you are caught up with analyzing what went wrong with your relationship, it is easy for your prayer to become over-intellectual. You spontaneously pray from your head and not your heart. Obsessing about the affair, as mentioned earlier, can be a way of protecting yourself from your painful feelings. In this same way, this intellectual avoidance can creep into your prayer. Instead, in praying for the gifts of the Spirit, allow yourself to feel deeply from your heart. An old Sufi tale recorded by Shah expresses this truth about authentic prayer. Someone approached a madman who was weeping bitterly and asked, "Why do you cry?" The madman responded, "I'm crying to attract the pity of his heart." The other commented, "Your words are nonsense because he has no physical heart." The madman answered, "It is you who are wrong, because he is the owner of all the hearts in the world. Through your heart, you can make your connection with God. Now, find a quiet place where you can relax and not be distracted. It is helpful to establish a regular location where you are drawn more readily into a calm and prayerful attitude. Think of this place as your personal sanctuary, the place of refuge where you meet God, however you conceive of Him. Be aware of God's loving presence and promise to give whatever you ask of Him. Begin by allowing yourself to experience the doubt and uncertainty that is currently dominating your life. Acknowledge the destruction of your former beliefs about yourself, your partner, and your relationship. Recognize the struggle in your mind to know the truth, just as Jacob wrestled with the angel to receive his blessings. Feel the sense of despair and resignation welling up within you. It is important that you feel deeply your emptiness before you can experience God's fullness. After spending time with your doubt and despair, begin your prayer of petition. Your prayer will have a greater sense of urgency if you first allow yourself to feel your pain. From your heart, pray for understanding and knowledge both of your partner and yourself, which is similar to the paramita of truthfulness. Do not ask simply to know what your partner did and why he did it, but beg God to help you know the deeper truth about both of you. Pray that you may know yourself and your partner as God knows you. Ask for divine insight. Both you and your partner participate in the mystery of God's life. You may ask God for qualities of alertness, curiosity, openness, honesty, and gentleness that you can open your heart to His truth. Pray also with a psalmist that you may know yourself and your partner as God knows you. In that prayerful self-knowledge, you will realize at a heartfelt level that you are children of God, fundamentally good in your nature. In the Hebrew Scriptures, the psalmist chants, "O Lord, you have probed me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I stand. You understand my thoughts from afar. My journeys and my rest you scrutinize. With all my ways you are familiar. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know the whole of it. Behind me and before, you hem me in, and rest your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." Psalms 139, verses 1 through 6. Someone's choice to have an affair reveals her insecure attachment in the relationship. It is her way of disconnecting from the give and take of intimacy, which requires the ability to be emotionally connected, maintain a sense of autonomy, and negotiate differences in the relationship. An unfaithful partner attempts to regulate the emotional closeness distance in the relationship by becoming involved with a third party. There are many reasons for and ways of disconnecting. Those who are overdependent and cling to others may choose an affair partner who will support them when disappointed in their primary relationship. Those who fear being close and losing themselves enter affairs to create distance and retaliate in the power struggle with their partners. Finally, those who are emotionally detached maintain and increase the emotional distance in their relationship by pursuing another. Facing your doubt and despair courageously can become an opportunity to deepen the virtues of understanding, knowledge, and truthfulness that will guide you through recovery. Understanding your partner can be a gateway to understanding yourself, which is the next essential step in your own recovery. Some do's and don'ts for recovery. 1. Don't try to seek safety in ignorance. Do you tend to sweep problems under the rug? Do you avoid what is uncomfortable in your life? Do you believe that ignorance is bliss? 2. Face your questions squarely. Looking back, did you have questions about your partner that you ignored? If so, why did you put on blinders? Do you believe that ultimately the truth will set you free? 3. Don't stay imprisoned in blaming yourself or your partner. Are you holding a grudge against yourself or your partner? Who is your anger hurting? What purpose does the blaming serve? 4. Maintain a sense of curiosity about your partner and yourself. Do you tend to be inquisitive or judgmental in the face of uncertainty? Do you believe that your curiosity will eventually be rewarded with knowledge of the truth? Or do you believe that you are condemned to uncertainty and ignorance? 5. Trust your own perceptions and insights. Do you believe enough in yourself that you can see what is true and what is not? Do you think you are able to untangle the lies in your relationship? Do you see yourself as a perceptive, intelligent person? 6. Listen and learn from your partner. Can you set aside your anger enough to listen to your partner? Even though he has deceived you, can you glean some truth in what he says? Do you want to understand your partner? Can you learn something about yourself from your partner? 7. Keep an open mind for new perspectives. Do you believe you can learn something new from the experience of betrayal? Do you feel free to explore the meaning of what happened? Is it too painful? 8. Allow yourself to feel empathy for yourself and your partner. Are you closed off behind a wall of anger? Can you see yourself and your partner as two suffering people? Can you be gentle with yourself and your partner? Despite the anger, do you have any tender feelings toward your partner? 9. Seek to know ever deeper truth about yourself and your partner. Are you only preoccupied with what happened and why? Do you desire to know yourself and your partner as God, the Omniscient, or the Universal Life Force knows you? Do you accept your fundamental goodness and ultimate unknowability?